This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, March 21st. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, a story on the lack of follow-up treatment for mentally ill patients in Illinois. We'll also have a forecast coming up from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, a look at today's news. Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich has some tough words for opponents of his new tax plan in the state legislature. Sonari Glinton has that story.
Standing with nearly three dozen African-American ministers, Governor Blagojevich said he's willing to do just about anything to get his new tax plan passed, because for him,
this is more than just a fight in Springfield. This is a crusade, and I want to tell you how delighted I am to be here. Pray for us, because that means more than votes.
In exhorting the congregation of black ministers, he invoked Martin Luther King, Abraham Lincoln, and even Teddy Roosevelt. He says those who oppose his tax plan are not immoral, but
for me personally, I believe these are moral issues, and especially in the area of health care. And therefore, if you believe it's a moral imperative, then you have to do everything you possibly can. I think our religious convictions tell us that, to make these things happen.
The budget the governor is calling for would include the biggest tax increase in Illinois history. To pay for health care and education, the plan would tax business transactions to the tune of about $6 billion. I'm Sonari Glinton.
A long-debated plan to shift the burden for funding schools away from the property tax is still a viable plan, according to one of its leading proponents. Democratic Senator James Meeks of Chicago says he's unsure the legislature, though, will approve the governor's proposal to raise education money through the gross receipts tax. Instead, Meeks wants to raise the income tax, as well as tax more services, and then provide some property tax relief. He says it could be considered this year if the General Assembly decides to move on school funding.
I think that once gross receipts fail, or if it fails, then we'll be looking for an option, and this bill is that option.
But the Senate president appears to be on the governor's side, and that has many questioning if the session could produce a stalemate. Meek says he's worried the legislature could wrap up their work without addressing the way schools are funded. Layoffs of Ameren Illinois employees as well as service cuts are possibilities, according to the company's president, who appeared yesterday in a special hearing before state regulators. Amanda Vinicky has more.
The meeting was called after Ameren threatened to let employees go and delay maintenance projects because a credit agency dropped its bond rating. President of Ameren Illinois, Scott Sissel, assured the Illinois Commerce Commission such actions won't be taken yet, but he says that will happen if the state legislature forces the utility to roll back and freeze electricity rates.
These are not steps we would ever take lightly. This is not saber-rattling.
The Illinois House has already passed a rate freeze. While the Senate has so far held back from doing so, it's expected to take up a measure this week that would roll back both Ameren and Commonwealth Edison's rates. For his part, head of the Illinois Commerce Commission, Charles Box, says all parties should stop waiting for the other to blink.
Both sides don't want to do something, might give up some leverage. Well, who's suffering? It's the citizens that are out there suffering.
Box also scolded Ameren for not being more upfront with customers. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Three condominium associations in unincorporated Southwest Champaign have agreed to be annexed into the city in 10 years if they can get fire and ambulance service from the city now. Last night, the city council approved the annexation agreements with the Brookview, Champaign Highlands, and Fields East condo developments. That's in the Lincolnshire area. Until recently, they received their fire protection from Savoy, but with Savoy announcing it'll stop serving the region next month, the condo associations decided to sign agreements with Champaign, which recently built a new fire station nearby. Mayor Jerry Schweihart says he hopes the agreement will serve as a model for other unincorporated areas seeking city services.
So this is an opportunity for us to get into that area and get some of the properties in there and maybe interest other people, the offers out there for the others to come into the city.
The agreements cover 68 condo units. They'll be annexed into the city in 2017, although the Champaign Highlands condos can wait longer if they're not yet adjacent to city boundaries. An Urbana alderman wants the city to give owners of historic buildings some monetary incentives to seek historic landmark status. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Alderman Dennis Roberts says he knows of four houses in Urbana that are good candidates for historic landmark status, including one from the same architect who designed the Urbana Free Library and the Lincoln Hotel.
It's one of the three or four existing structures designed by Joseph W. Royer, one of the most important architects in our city's history. and it was designed by him 3 years after he graduated from the University of Illinois School of Architecture.
Robert says the owner of the home in question is reluctant to apply for historic landmark status, but he says the city could make the decision easier by offering the same 5-year property tax rebate that it offers to new homes under the Build Urbana program. He says other incentives for homes that qualify for landmark status could include a 5-year 20% property tax discount or zero-interest interior renovation loans. Roberts plans to bring his proposal up for discussion at an Urbana City Council committee meeting sometime this spring. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
For the latest newscast online, go to WILL.UIUC.EDU/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Here's one thing that advocates for the mentally ill and law enforcement officers agree on. The mentally ill in Illinois are released from hospitals and jails without the follow-up care that they need. That's what may have happened to the apparently mentally ill homeless woman who's suspected of starting a fire in Chicago that killed 4 young people. Illinois Public Radio's Katrin Einhorn reports.
Even in Mary Smith's mugshot, something seems wrong. Instead of looking into the camera, she's looking away from it, out of the corners of her eyes. Her graying hair appears frayed and unbrushed. After getting arrested, she reportedly told police about bugs crawling out of her eyes.
She has been mentally ill for probably 20 years.
Jacqueline Ross is Smith's public defender. She says Smith is incoherent, that she speaks, but the words are disjointed and don't make sense. Ross says Smith has been homeless for years.
She has been taken to the hospital, various hospitals, numerous times by family members, where she may have been treated for a day or 2 days, very short period of time, and then released.
Now Smith is being held in a jail hospital. A prosecutor says she told police that she started a fire in the lobby of a Wrigleyville apartment building to warm up her feet after losing her shoes. That fire allegedly spread. 4 people, all in their 20s, were killed.
This is a tragedy that shouldn't have happened. If the system had been in place, if there was a place for Mary, if the system would have listened to Mary's family when they begged for help, when they took her to hospital after hospital, this may not have happened.
Ross says she's still confirming details of Smith's hospitalizations and declined to give specific information about her treatment. She says the big problem is that although Smith's family was desperate to get her medical help, Smith herself didn't want any, so hospitals released her. In Illinois, people can be committed to a hospital against their will if they pose a danger to themselves or others in the near future, or if they can't take care of their basic physical needs. That's actually a broad definition, according to Mark Heierman. He's policy director for the Mental Health Association in Illinois and a law professor at the University of Chicago. Heierman says Illinois has more leverage than many states to forcibly commit people. But he says there's a shortage of hospital beds, and so the law is interpreted narrowly.
We tend to release people after they've gotten a little bit better, well enough so that we think they can be okay for a while.
Without, Heierman says, really figuring out how they're going to do once they leave, whether they'll stay in treatment, what's the best way to engage them.
There's no infrastructure there.
For decades, states have scaled back on giving people long-term treatment in psychiatric hospitals. It's considered much better to treat them in their communities whenever possible. But advocates say as hospital beds disappeared, they weren't replaced with the necessary community services. Tony Zippel runs Thresholds, a group that provides all kinds of services to people with severe mental illness. One thing the group does is aggressive outreach to people who don't want help. People like Mary Smith, apparently.
Almost everybody that we see wants something from us. They recognize that they have needs for money, for food, for some human connection, for a chance to get off the street and get warm. And it may not be that they come to us and say, oh, gee, you know, I wish I had a connection for mental health services and a prescription for an antipsychotic. But they may connect with us on other kinds of needs, and it gives us an opportunity to build a relationship and engage them and get them into services.
But advocates say there aren't enough of those and other services for people who need them. Last year, the National Alliance on Mental Illness gave Illinois an F on caring for the mentally ill. It was one of only 8 states to receive that grade, although the overall national grade came out to a D. The group ranked Illinois 34th in the nation for per capita mental health spending. Lori Jones runs the state's Division of Mental Health. She says there are problems, but that Illinois is moving in the right direction with pilot programs such as special courts for the mentally ill.
Does everybody who needs mental health treatment get it in Illinois? Probably not. Is that the case for this country? Probably so. Are there opportunities for people who want services to access services? Yes. And it takes the collective effort of a number of different systems coming together to try to really put a dent in this issue.
Unless Illinois makes that dent, many mentally ill people will keep getting treated where they're getting treated now, in jail after committing crimes. Mary Smith has been arrested at least 10 times since 2003, not including her most recent arrest. A couple times were for drugs, a couple times for stealing, and mostly they were for refusing to leave places when she was told. Just last month, police arrested her once for trying to steal a pair of gym shoes from Sears and again for refusing to leave a Starbucks. Over the years, she's ended up at Cook County Jail three times before now. Her longest stay was about 3 weeks. It's unclear whether she received treatment for mental illness while there. Mark Heyerman of the Mental Health Association and University of Chicago says there are more mentally ill people in the Illinois prison system than in all of the state's public and private psychiatric hospitals combined. He calls Cook County Jail the largest mental institution in the state. The jail often releases the mentally ill without getting them well connected to the care they need. It's not just advocates who say that. It's the man in charge of the jail, Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart.
People who have mental illnesses and who are diagnosed with them here are going right out into the streets and with very little treatment, very little connections to community services and so on. So we're in the process of trying to develop a program to try to make those connections and to try to really put some teeth into it.
Advocates say this is one place to really help the mentally ill, offer them treatment instead of incarceration, and make sure those in jails and prisons get the right care as they leave. Forget humanitarian reasons, Mark Heyerman says. It would save money.
These are treatable mental illnesses. You can think of people becoming taxpayers. Being a taxpayer is better than being in jail.
It's unclear how Mary Smith would have responded if she'd gotten the treatment her lawyer says she needed. Whether she'd still be in a jail hospital, suspected of starting a fire in Wrigleyville, whether four young people would have died. I'm Katrin Einhorn.
Look for rain as we begin spring over the next couple of days, but also look for above normal temperatures. A cloudy day today, windy and warmer across the two-state area, with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms. The high is from 57 in northeast Indiana to 74 degrees in southwest Illinois. Tonight, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, lows ranging from 45 in far northern Illinois to 58 in the south. And Ed Kieser says for tomorrow, mostly cloudy again with areas of rain and scattered thunderstorms. Tomorrow's highs ranging from 54 in far northern Illinois to 74 in the south. Looking ahead to Friday in Champaign-Urbana, mostly cloudy with periods of rain and thunderstorms again and a high of around 58. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, March 21st. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.